Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Prospering Souls broadcast. I am your host, Elder Denise Bryson of Denise Bryson Ministries.
Hello, 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 everybody. We're thankful and honored to God just to be here on the broadcast today. We are going to be talking about fasting. I think we got, I was trying to really get it done, all this, the rest of it this week, and but we might filter into a little bit of next week, and then maybe we'll do a recap, and then we will go back over, do a recap of all of our topics that we've done so far on this building a better relationship with God, and then we're going to go right into prayer. And so we will start teaching on prayer. So I'm so excited about that, about us beginning that teaching on prayer. So prayer is really a big topic, and so probably myself and some others will be teaching on that, or just might be all me, but I don't know. But we will see. But anyway, so thankful to be here. Thank God for all he's done. We thank God for each and every one that will be on the broadcast today, those that will be calling in, those that will be logging in, and those that even will listen to the broadcast later, those that will be logging in with me on Facebook Live, and those that will listen to Facebook Live later. So we thank God for each and every one of you. We hope that you will be richly blessed by the teaching. And so we've been talking about fasting for at least, I want to say this is probably week number 5 that we've been talking about fasting. God has been awesome in teaching us and the things that he has taught us, and just the things that we know more about fasting than what we did know, and just how to begin. You know, we're going to talk about how to begin a fast. We're going to talk about types of fast, and we're going to talk about Moses and Elijah, and even a little bit about Daniel today, and then we're going to go right into talking about the fast that, you know, just different types of fast and what those mean and, you know, things like that. So we're going to try to cover those things today, and then next week we'll talk about tips for fasting. We're going to talk about the fast that happened over in the New Testament, and then we will be done with fasting, and that's how we're going to do that. Thank God for each and every one of you that has been a part, that has been listening and logging in to the broadcast. I'm so thankful for each and every one of you that that supports and listens, and prayerfully that this broadcast will reach those that need to be reached. It will reach somebody that needs this word. That's my prayer, because our prayer and our endeavor is to reach those that are lost, or those that are newly saved. But like I said, for all of us that are saved, it has been such a blessing just to kind of go over the different topics in the teaching, and so it kind of ignites something in us to move to be better and to move forward and to do more and more and more. So those are some of the things that, you know, this teaching has done. So it is the Prospering Souls broadcast, and it's our endeavor that our soul would prosper. And so it says the Bible tells us that he loved beloved, he wished above all things that we would prosper, be in health, even as our soul prospers. So as more we learn the word, the more that we are prospering in our soul, because we're feeding our spiritual man. And so those are some of the things that we want to do so that we can be a blessing to the body of Christ. Because I want people to be able to stand on the word of God and know so much about God that, you know, that when trouble comes, when the storms come, they won't get so discouraged and disturbed about it. But they'll understand that what they have to do is begin to really seek God more and to be able to stand on the word of God and trust God more, because that's what you want to be able to do. We can keep getting, you know, disoriented about it. And we're going to talk about that a little bit when we talk about Elijah and even how that mighty man of God went to a place of depression. So it can happen. It can happen to those that have had great victories and doing great things for the Lord. So we want people to be encouraged by that, because sometimes, you know, we go through things and we get discouraged, we get depressed, and things like something to happen, and we just kind of get kind of, you know, it's all up in an uproar about things, and we think, oh, it's just me, and I'm failing. But no, even the mighty man of God, Elijah, went into a place, and so God had to help him come out of that place. And so we understand that these things happen, but that's not places we need to stay. Those are places we may visit them, but we don't need to stay there, so we need to let God bring us out. And he's awesome in being able to do that, and so we want to do that. So anyway, we're going to open up with prayer. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you today. I thank you for mercy and for grace. I thank you for your loving kindness and tender mercy. Lord, I ask you, Lord, to bless this word that goes forth, that it will fall on good ground, Lord. Ask you to bless all those that are hearers of your word, O God, to let them be doers also. Let them be willing and obedient, O God, because you said they would eat the good of the land. O God, we ask you, Lord, to bless us to have faith and works with it, God. We ask you to touch each and every one on the sound of my voice, Lord, whatever's going on in their life, whatever need they need to be met. Lord, you told us you would supply every need according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And God, we thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are shepherd and we shall not want, that you are light and our salvation, O God, that you are our refuge and our strength and our very present help in the time of trouble. Lord, we thank you. Lord, we thank you, Lord Jesus, that we can trust and lean and depend on you and trust in you, O God, as never before. Lord, let us understand that word trust and how we can trust in you, that when the storms of life are raging, Lord, we can stand and be confident in you that our God has got our back because you're omnipotent and omnipresent and omniscient. And, Lord, so we thank you, Lord, for all that you do for us. Well, bless this word to fall on good ground, that those that hear it will be blessed by it. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. So I wanted to begin to talk about, you know, we've been talking about fasting for a while, and I'm telling you, it's something that when you begin to fast, how things just start coming up. I remember telling somebody about a fast that we had been put on at the church. This was back in Indianapolis when I was in Indianapolis, and Pastor Farr had put us on this fast. I remember this around in October, too. And it was a 21-day fast, and how that, you know, what we were doing was the first week we were giving up things. So we gave up this, you know, gave up certain things as the week went on. And so that when the next week came, we would be ready to fast. You know, some people did fasted till noon. Some people fasted from 6 to 6, and some people fasted the whole day. There were three levels of fasting so that everybody could be in participation. Because some people are older, some people, and I'm going to talk about that a little bit too, because I noted that when I was looking at Daniel, so I'm going to talk about that for a minute when I talk about Daniel real quick, because I talked about Daniel last week, but then there's another passage of scripture I wanted to talk about when we talk about Daniel. But anyway, so here we are, lost my train of thought, but anyway, you know, I want to talk about that, but anyway, okay, I was going back to past four. So anyway, he had done that fast for us. And so what we had done is we were giving up things, and I got tickled because we had gave up sweets. That was one thing we had given up. And it was a Friday was our sweet give up sweet day. We gave up sweets early part of the week. But anyway, you know, it was October, so people had candy, Halloween candy sitting around on their desk and all that was there. And so here comes Friday of that week. And that week if somebody left, they usually bought everybody ice cream. And then it was somebody's birthday, so we had cake. And then Friday we always had donuts. So we had Halloween candy, we had donuts, we had cake and ice cream, and all of this stuff was there. I was giving up sweets, and I was eating sweets back then. And so anyway, and I just remembered how I kept praying, said, Lord, you're going to have to help me. I said, because this is a big sweet day, and a lot of sweets is going on, but I was able to do that. And I always remember that particular fast. But sometimes, your fasting can be challenging for people. If you haven't fasted in a long time, then start small. You don't have to jump in there and be big. And, you know, sometimes people can talk about things and what they're saying is true. And so as far as, you know, you got to get in there, you got to turn your plate, you got to get fast, and you got to do this. But go at a pace that you can be successful. Because like I told somebody, if you ain't fasted, then 40-day fast ain't for you. I'm just really serious. Unless God is really telling you, is really petitioning you to go on that fast, then that's not the one for you. Because we got to understand those that went on, we're going to talk about that today too, those that went on those 40-day fasts, they were in a place with God. And not to say we can't get in that place with God, but we're not going to be on the mountain with God getting no tablets like Moses was. Moses was up there with God all day and all night. And so God was able to sustain Moses. It wasn't that Moses was being, that Moses was sustaining Moses. God was sustaining Moses. And so I'm not saying that we can't do 40-day fast. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying if you just starting back to fast, I don't know if that's the best way to go. But anyway, consult God about it because I'm not God. And so you have to consult God on those types of situations. But I would start, you know, in a place where, you know, start with a day. Start with a 3-day fast or something like that. And work and build your confidence up, build your faith up so that you can be able to do it and not mess up. You know what I'm saying? Because sometimes then when we mess up, then the enemy attacks our mind and begin to tell us, I told you, you can't do this, you can't, you know, it's all that drama. But anyway, And let's talk about fast. I want to talk about Daniel, because one thing I noted about the Daniel fast, and so many people do the Daniel fast, and because on the Daniel fast, where it's not a full fast, it's not like no food and no water. It is giving up certain things. And one thing I noted when it was talking about Daniel, when it was talking about Daniel in the sixth chapter, and even Daniel 6, it talks about the Daniel's fast. But Daniel was about 80 years old at the time when all this began to happen. And so I wanted to talk about him being older. And so that's probably one of the reasons why he chose to give up certain things. The first time when he did that, though, he was giving up certain things because, he was trying to show them that, no, if we don't eat the king's meat and don't eat drink the king's drink, we're going to look better than the prophets that are doing that. And so he was showing them that, and they were able to display how much better and how much better they felt and all those kind of things when they did that. But this particular fast, Daniel was praying for the nation again. And so that is a big thing when it came to the Old Testament scriptures when they talk about fasting. They were praying for the nation. It talks about Daniel. Where's my notes? Here I go. These notes. But anyway, it talks about Daniel being. Praying because he was kind of discouraged at what he was hearing about the things, because they had went. The king had given them, the okay to go back to Israel to begin to build the temple and all those types of things. And so when they were doing that, they still were facing a lot of trouble and things like that. And so that kind of discouraged Daniel. So Daniel was fasting and praying for them that they would, that things would get better and that they would be able to finish their course of things that they were doing. And so those are some of the things that he was fasting about. And then the one thing, like I said last week about Darius the king, how he fasted for Daniel, when the other princes, the prince and the other appointees that the king had appointed, like he had Daniel, they came against Daniel because they didn't like Daniel because the king favored Daniel and things like that. Darius favored Daniel, and so they plotted against Daniel. And so they plotted against him to the point where, they were, they knew Daniel prayed because Daniel was consistent. He prayed every day, three times a day. And so in his praying three times a day, he was able to, they were able to note that. And so what they did was they went to the king and they had the king set a decree out that no one could pray to their God for 30 days. Well, Daniel was consistent. And so he kept right on praying, and so they went and told the king that. So since the king, but whatever the king said and whatever he put his signet on, that was it. And so so he had to put Daniel in the lion's den. But what was interesting about that was that the king told Daniel that his God was going to deliver him. And then that night the king fasted. The king fasted for Daniel, and then early that morning the king ran right to the place where they had put Daniel and called for Daniel. And Daniel answered the king back, and the king was so happy because he knew that Daniel's God was going to deliver him because the God had shut the mouths of the lions. And so at the end of this, what I said, we used to sing a song that said, if you dig one ditch, you better dig two because the trap you set just may be for you. And so we used to sing that song. It's called I'm Holding. And so anyway, I remember those words, but one of the things about that is that the very ones that came against Daniel were the very ones that got thrown in the lion's den and was eaten by the lions. And the lion's mouth wasn't shut on them like it was on the man of God. So sometimes when we're going through certain situations, we don't have to react. Don't always react to don't respond to it sometimes. Just give it over to God and let him handle it. Because he can do it so much better than we can. And God is able to stop the mouths of the lions. He's surely able to stop the mouths of people. So when people are talking about you and making you feel discouraged and things like that, understand that God is able to shut their mouths like he shut the lions of the mouths of the lion. And so instead of us getting excited and responding to everything, sometimes we just gotta chill out. We got to go back, pray, give it over to God, and walk in the confidence and in the strength of God. Because sometimes people are going to come up against you. If you're a child of God, this is normal behavior. They're going to come up against you. Don't be weary. Don't be fearful, because our God is mightier than any army. He's mightier. He showed us that with Jehoshaphat. When Jehoshaphat fasted and prayed and they repented and they fasted and they worshiped God, God took care. It was enemies all around Jehoshaphat. And God took care of the enemy. He said they took care of themselves. They was fighting once another. When Jehoshaphat and him got over, all they had to do was gather up the spoil. That's all they had to do. So what I'm trying to encourage us all to understand is we ain't got to try to fight all the battles. We ain't got to respond to the naysayers. We ain't got to respond to the critics. You know, that's one thing. Jesus never responded to him. He just kind of went on about his way. And, you know, and then when it was time to respond to him, he would, because sometimes he would respond to the Pharisees, but he would respond in a way that made them have to think about what the world they was over there saying, really. So we got to understand that we don't have to respond all the time when people are talking about us, when people are setting up ambushments for us. Don't worry about that. Just like it was with Daniel, they set that thing up against Daniel. And then this is what was really so good about Daniel's situation. After that happened and Daniel came out of the lion's den, the king told all of the province, said, God, Daniel's God is the true and living God. Now, he was broadcasting for God. He said he's a true and living God. He was testifying. He said, that's the God, that's the only God you should follow. So we got to understand that when we do what we're supposed to do, God will do his, God's going to do his part. And we're going to talk about this in a minute, just with Exodus. So let's go on and go to it. So here is Moses. This is in Exodus 34, the 34th chapter of Exodus. Let me get over here to my one. So I'm going to read this one scripture. Now, you're going to have to read the whole, because, you know, it's a long scripture. And I would admonish you to read it. But let me get some background on it first. So this is the second time that Moses is going to get the Ten Commandments. Because, you know, the first time when he got it, God did all the work. Now, this is important, too. I want to note this, because this jumped out at me when I was studying. God did all the work. He had the tablets. He wrote on them. He got the tablets out the mountain, gave them to Moses. Moses went back down the mountain. Moses got down the mountain. The children of Israel had lost their mind. They had encouraged Aaron to build the golden calf, and they were down there dancing naked around it, acting up. While Moses had been up here 40 days. So they was like, well, he ain't coming back. Something must have happened to him. Some beast must have ate him or something. That's what they were thinking. And so they just started acting a fool because they was going back. One thing about Israel, they kept going back and forth into idol worship, back and forth into idol worship. And I wonder how many times are we going back and forth into idol worship. Now, we might not be worshiping the gods, wood, and all that kind of stuff like they were. But what are we allowing to be idols in our lives? I want to talk about that just for a minute. Because, and it can be anything. It can be your job. It can be your career. It can be, and I'm not saying none of those things are wrong, because you need a job and you need a career. Ain't nothing wrong with none of that, because you got to pay your bills and you got to live and you need money to do all that. Now, you don't have to love money, but the Bible says money answers all things. That's what it says over in Ecclesiastes. But also in Timothy, I think it's Timothy, where it says the love of money is the root of all evil. So we don't want to love it on that level, but we do need it. So we got to operate with it, because things, you got to pay for stuff. You can't, now believe me, I know, there's a whole lot you can't do when you don't have no money. And so you got to understand that you have to, you know, you have to work, but it does not have to become an idol. You know, things don't have to become an idol. It's all right to have things, but things shouldn't have you. My pastor says that all the time. It's all right to have things, but things shouldn't have you. And so, you know, and what that's meaning is that, you know, they shouldn't have you so much that you forget about God, and you over here with all this stuff and doing all this different stuff, worshiping things that cannot do anything for you. And that was one of the things that Israel does, and that's some of the things that we even do today. We go back and forth into things, and we got to understand God is the one giving us all that. He might have gave you the education. He might have blessed you to get through it. He might have blessed you to get through the interview. He blessed you to get the job. So you got to understand all this stuff belongs to God. He allows us to use it. That's what's really going on. You might have purchased it with the money that you made on the job that he blessed you to get. Let's think about it in the right track, in the right frame of mind. God blessed you to get the job. First, God blessed you to get through school, to have the mind to be able to do it. If that was the way that you went, if you went to school, some of you worked your way up in other ways, or some of you just gifted and talented in other ways and was able to get a job. Nevertheless, the Lord gave you those gifts and talents, and he gave you those things, and so he blessed you to get the job. So you got to remember where all your blessings come from. That's what I'm saying about that. Remember where all your blessings come from, because if we remember that, then we won't make things idols. We won't make things idols. And so we'll keep things in the right perspective. So that's something that we can work on. We have to work on it sometimes, because sometimes we get busy and we don't even realize that we're doing those kind of things. We just think we're doing, you know, what we're supposed to be doing. But we got to be careful about those things. Now, I'm not saying go to work and don't do no work, because that's not going to get you nowhere. So that's not what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is, you know, don't put God first. In everything you do, put God first. Even when you go on the job, put God first. Because if truth be told, now I'm a witness to this, God had to help me get through when I really don't know what to do, and I've been given a task and I'm not sure how to get it done, I'm going to God about it, because he can answer it and he can give me the answer on how to get it done. And so that's the way I operate about things. I remember, you know, when I used to do financial reporting when I was working in Indianapolis in an insurance company, and sometimes I could not get stuff to work out, and I would go home and I would just pray. I said, Lord, I need to be able to work this out, because I can't stay on that another day. So I got to get to the bottom of it, and I got to be able to understand what it is I'm doing, how to get it done. And I've been to college, I've done this work before, but sometimes things would become challenging. And so what I would be asleep, and I would get the answer in a dream. I'm not kidding you. I would get that answer. I'd wake up, and I thought, oh, and I'd go to work, put that right in there, and do what I got to do, and it would come out all right. So I'm telling you, I'm helping somebody with that testimony. Because God can help you when you're experiencing trouble on the job and they feel like you're not worthy and can't do it. Go to God and ask him to help you. He'll help you. He sure will. He helped me. I'm telling you what he did, even this summer with them kids. I didn't know nothing about no forensic science. I didn't know, well, I know, you know, NCIS, TIS, CSI, I know that. And I had to rely on that kind of time, you know, kind of think things through. But I prayed every day, God, show me how to do it, so when these kids leave here, they have had an awesome experience. They have learned. They've had good. And the Lord blessed me every time. I didn't know anything about engineering because I'm not an engineer. And so, but anyway, so they gave me that to teach. And so one of the young men just kind of, he said, you got to have them draw it out like this. He gave me a little blueprint real quick before we started registration. And so I had to go in there and figure that out. But I prayed. I said, Lord, now you know, I don't know how to work this AutoCAD. I don't know how to do none of this. But, Lord, I got to teach it. And the Lord blessed me, because, you know, them kids know how to do anything. So I really was too. I was concerned that I didn't know how to do it, but I knew them kids knew how to do it. And they showed me how to do it. Now I can do it. So anyway, I'm telling you, the Lord will bless you if you trust in him. Trust in him for everything. Nothing is too hard for God. And so I want you to be encouraged by that. But so let's get back to this fast. So here was Moses had to go up there on the mountain the second time to get these tablets, to get the Ten Commandments. But this time, God told him, you bring them tablets with you when you come. So Moses had to go cut them tablets out, and he had to bring them. Let me read the scripture so we can see what he was saying to Moses. Because he said, no. You're going to bring that scripture. You're going to bring them up here this time. I'm not doing it. So I'm going to write on them. But you bring the stone with you. And that's what Moses had to do. So here it was, it said, and the Lord said to Moses, cut two tables. This is Exodus 34:1. He said, and the Lord said to Moses, cut two tables of stone like the first. And I will write upon these tables, this is the Amplified Classic Verse, tables, the words that were on the first tables which you broke. Because, you know, when Moses came down that mountain that first time, he was so upset about it, he threw them tablets down. He broke them. And so this time, God had the tablets up there for him the first time. But this time, God said, bring them tablets on. He said, go cut two tablets out. He said, and then I will write the words on them. So that's what he said. He said, and be ready to come up in the morning to Mount Sinai and present yourself there to me on top of the mountain. And no man shall come up with you, neither let any man be seen throughout all the mountain, neither let flocks or herds feed before that mountain. So Moses, he cut, so soon it says, so Moses cut two tables of stone like the first, and he rose up early in the morning and went up to Mount Sinai, as the Lord had commanded him, and took in his hand two tables of stone. And, you know, I thought about that. I said, Moses must have been really strong. I said, because he had two tables of stone. And it wasn't like it was no little mountain. You know what I'm saying? So he had to climb up that mountain with some stone. But anyway, then the next, if I go down here to the, I think it's the 28th verse, where it talks about Moses fasting. And it said, it talks about Moses, said, Moses was there, this is 34:28, Moses was there with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights. He ate no bread and drank no water. And he wrote, and it says, and he wrote upon the tables the words of the covenant of the Ten Commandments. Now, we got to understand, Moses was up there, and he fasted 40 days. He fasted for 40 days. And so I wrote a couple of bullet points about that. It says, then this is when God allowed Moses to see his glory. Because this was also when God told Moses, he said, hide in the cleft. He said, hide in the cleft of the rock. He said, and I'm going to pass by you and show you my glory. And so, because, you know, we see in the scripture all the time where it says, well, not all the time, but it's in the scripture where it says, no man has seen the Lord and lived, right? Nobody has seen that and lived. So he let Moses get a glimpse, because he didn't see him full on, but he got a glimpse of God. And so as God was going by, Moses was able to see a glimpse of God. He saw his hinder parts is what the scripture says if you look over in the King James Version. And so that was one of the things that happened when he was up there. Now, we got to understand, when Moses was up there doing this 40-day fast, God was taking care of Moses. God was taking care of Moses. He was in such a place with the Lord, because God was up there the whole 40 days with Moses. It wasn't like, you know, God was up there and he wasn't up there. No, he was there the whole time. And so then one thing that Moses did while he was up there with God during his 40 days, he took advantage of the opportunity and began to pray for the people. It said that Moses took the opportunity to pray to God that he would forgive the sins of the people, once again paying for the nation, sins of the people, and go along with them on the journey so they could be protected. And then God made a covenant. God made a covenant. He said, made a covenant with him to do wonders for them. Now, here God is promising to do wonders for the people of God. He said he's going to do wonders for them. Then it said that he was going to drive out the inhabitants of Canaan, because, you know, they were trying to go to the promised land. Now, this is what God is promising for them. He's going to take them over into Canaan. He's going to go over there and drive the inhabitants out before them. And on their and their only thing they had, and this was their part, that they would have no confederacy and communion with these nations, and that they would shun the idol worship. They wouldn't get involved with the idol worship and everything that goes along with it. That's what God. That's the same thing God is requiring from them. He's requiring for us not to keep flip flopping back and forth between, you know, this and that. We got to. I think Ricky Dillard sings a song that says, "Stay with God." We got to stay with God. If we're gonna be His child, then let's stay with Him. We can't keep flip flopping back and forth. One day we fully on, and next day we not. And I'm telling you, when you begin to seek God and seek Him, and when you begin to fast and pray and keep that word flowing in your system, I'm telling you, it brings you to, and I know some of you are already doing that, but it brings you to a better place with God. It brings you to a place where, you know, you feel empowered because not because of who you are, but because of who God is. You rely on His strength, and you trust in Him more, and you believe in Him more, and you're able to just to lean on Him more, it's just such a blessed place. I'm telling you, I don't know what I would do without that morning time, without that morning prayer, and without that meditation time. I need it. I don't know about what nobody else needs, but that's what I need. And I know some people do midnight stuff and do our day, but I try to do, you know, I try to do a little bit in the evening as well, but not as in much detail. But that morning time for me, it's before I get anything else started in the day. I get up and I get on in there and I get before the Lord. I sit there, I meditate on the Word of God, and then I begin to pray, and then I can go about my day. Now, you know, I try to get me a little exercise in, and then I go about my day. That's funny. But anyway, that's what I try to do in the morning. And people always ask, why you get up so early in the morning? I said, because I have to spend that time with God. You know, when my mother, and this is where I developed this habit at, when my mom, when I was about 18, when I got out of high school, my mother got sick. And so she began to have, you know, trouble. She had a rare disease called syringomyelia. And so what it did was deteriorating the joint, and she had some surgery, spinal surgery and things like that. And it was really exploratory. But anyway, it began to take the use of her limbs and stuff like that. And so my mother was really sick. And so then not only that, my aunt, who I just met, my aunt had been in Indianapolis all those years, but I had never met her. So my brother, my sister, my brother vaguely remembered meeting her, you know, prior to, you know, toward the end of things. But my sister knew her because she's, you know, about 14 years older than me. And so, but I never had met her. I knew about her, but I hadn't met her. So anyway, I finally met my auntie. And so then not shortly after that, she had a stroke. And so she was in the nursing home, and then my mom brought my aunt. I don't know why I'm talking about why this is coming up, but anyway, my mother brought my aunt home. I'll talk about my prayer, how I developed the prayer thing. Anyway, my mother brought my aunt home with us. And so my aunt was blind in one eye, didn't have the use of this one arm, and then she had to walk with a cane because her leg was, you know, had people to have a stroke at that one side. So anyway, so I had both of them. I was 18. Had both of them to deal with both of them, and my mother eventually became where she couldn't walk at all, so I had that to deal with. And so, but you know, it's such a blessing for me back then because, you know, neighborhoods were really neighborhoods back then. Neighborhoods were neighborhoods. The neighbors would come over, you knew who they were, and they would come and help you. So some of the older neighbors would come over when I went to work, because I was still working full-time, going to school full-time, and trying to be a church, and being in church as well. And so, because those were my outlets, because you have to have something. When you become a caretaker like that and you have all that to do, I'm telling you, I had to learn how to cook. I had to learn how to do a lot of things. And so, you know, they had to be bathed and things like that. And but then they had good programs, too, because I had visiting nurses came in, things like that. But anyway, I cooked all the time. So it was like the roles got reversed. Instead of me being the child, it was like I was becoming the parent or something like that, because I had the duties of that to deal with. But anyway, because my mother passed when I was 34, I think, and so that went on that long. And so I took, you know, I'm not saying that went on that long. I was really devastated when my mother died, because I felt like God didn't tell me. This is what I thought. I said, Lord, you didn't tell me that. And I thought that the Lord should have told me that, like he needed to talk to me about that. But he didn't. But anyway, I knew she was in a better place because my mother was in so much pain. And so she was in so much pain. And we really think that, you know, when she did pass, because she had to go to the nursing home, when she did pass, it's because they were giving her all that medicine that she didn't take at home. And so I think, you know, that might have, we feel like that was one of the things that caused her to go on to be with the Lord. And then, so then my aunt actually went in the nurse home. She wanted to do that. She didn't want to go back home. And so those are some of the things that was happening. So that went on from when I was 18 all the way up to 34. And so those are some of my responsibilities. So in that, I developed, that's when I began to pray and to meditate in the morning, because I had to, because I got up every morning at 5 o'clock to do this. Because at 6 a.m., the sound that was going to be coming through was, Daddy! They would start calling my name at 6 a.m. on the dot. And so I had to get up so that I could get some strength and some encouragement to be able to handle what I had to handle during the day. So what I'm saying, when you got difficult things that you are handling, get up and give God some time in the morning and see what strength he will give you. And so, and then, you know, and so that's what the point was I wanted to be that about making that time for God and getting God in your life early in the morning. Because if you're dealing with difficult things, I'm telling you, that's a way for you to get some relief. That's a way for you to get some encouragement and some instruction on how to handle those types of situations. Because it wasn't easy for me as being a teenager, but I look back on it now and I see so many of my friends going through these types of things at an older age, and then I reflect back and I think, well, I don't know if I'd be able to handle it as well as I did then now, because do I even have the strength to do it? You know what I'm saying? Do you even have the focus to do it? But anyway, I know God would strengthen me. But anyway, for all of those that have parents that they are taking care of and stuff like that, I'm going to pray about that before the end of the broadcast. Because evidently that was something the Lord God put on my heart. So I just want you to be encouraged about that. But nevertheless, when Moses was up there on that mountain fasting, and so he when he came down, he had such a glow. He had such a glow on him because he had been up there with the Lord. And so it was different for that 40-day fast for Moses, because God was taking care of, God was feeding him, God was giving him what he needed to nourish him to be able to make it through that fast, is what I wanted to point out. But anyway, while Moses was up there, he took the opportunity to pray for the people. And so what I keep talking about this, because all these fasts throughout the Old Testament were them praying for the nation. And I just believe if the people of God, if us in this country, the men and women of God, the Christians in this country would come together for a day of prayer and a day of fasting, I believe that we could get some things changed in this country. We have got to begin to pray for the sins of this country and repent for some of these things. We have so many, and that's why I think we have so many of these racial relationship things. They have not repented for the sin that was done at that time. And I think if we begin to fast and pray as the people of God, that we can begin to pray and ask God to deliver this country from the sins that they have committed. And then but you know the thing about it, them when they pray for that, well, not so much when Moses prayed, because they were still down there cutting up when Moses came down that mountain. But anyway, they were he prayed for them, and God had mercy because of Moses' prayer. That's what I want to say. God had mercy because of Moses' prayer. And so what I'm saying is, if we come together and pray, then God will have mercy. I just believe that. And so I'm just praying for God to put it in the hearts and minds of the leaders across this country, and that be something that we do, because that keeps coming up in my spirit, so I'm going to keep talking about it. But anyway, let's move on, because what time is it? Because I got a short notice, and I'm going to have to go over to this hospital and be over there about 6, so I'm going to probably let go a little early. But anyway, then the next thing I want to talk about was Elijah. Because now, you know, Elijah, and this is in 1 Kings, the 19th chapter, and he talks about him fast, about God fast, but starting in the 19th chapter. So now we know that in the 18th chapter of 1 Kings, for all those that do know and for those that don't know, that's when Elijah was up on Mount Carmel. And so he had all the kings, the prophets of Baal, and then it was, I think, 400 prophets of Baal, and then it was him. And so they were saying that their gods that they worshiped were better than God. And so Elijah said, no, God, your God ain't better than my God. So he had him wet the thing, and God answered by fire, and then he was able to slay all the prophets, right? And so that I'm just setting the background for it. But then the very next chapter, in chapter 19, here come Ahab. Ahab was the king at the time. In the 19:1, it says, Ahab told Jezebel, y'all done heard about Jezebel. Ahab told Jezebel that all that Elijah had done and how he had slain all the prophets of Baal with the sword. And Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah saying, so let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not your life as the life of one of them by this time tomorrow. So she threatened him. Now, he just got through slaying all of them prophets and all of that. And then he was afraid and arose and went for his life and came to Beersheba of Judah, over 80 miles and out of Jezebel's realm, and left his servant there. So, I mean, he got up and went to running, Elijah did, because of her threat. Now, this is the thing. Let's really think about this threat. This is how the devil always blowing smoke. If she was really going to kill Elijah, ain't nobody going to kill you and come tell you about it. They just going to get the job done if that's what they really want to do. But she came and told Elijah about it, because what she wanted to do, it wasn't so much about her wanting to kill Elijah. What she wanted to do was discredit Elijah and discredit God. That's what she wanted to do, to cause the people not to believe in God. Because, look, I just told his servant that I'm going to kill him by this day and time tomorrow. Look at him running. Look at him running. So where is his God now? That's what she wanted to do. Because if she wanted to kill Elijah, she could have done that. But that she wanted to make discredit God. And so Elijah ran. And then he was sitting up under that juniper tree. And so God came to talk to Elijah about it, because, you know, Elijah felt like what he really wanted to happen after that Mount Carmel situation was for the people to turn their hearts, even Ahab and Jezebel. He wanted them to turn their hearts back to God. That's what he wanted, but it didn't happen that way. So he felt like he had failed, and so he got discouraged. And so when she threatened him, he got scared and he ran. And so he ran, and then he was up under the juniper tree. Let me get to my... And so the Lord, God came to visit Elijah, because God had more for Elijah to do. You know, when God got more for you to do, he ain't getting ready to listen to all that stuff you're talking about. He got something for you to do. And so then the Lord, it talks about God... trying to get to my little highlighted note here. It says, so Elijah was up under that tree, and then it said that Elijah said, and he prayed that he might die. Here we got the mighty man of God wanting to die because he was afraid of what Jezebel was going to do to him. He just wanted to die. He said, and this is the same Elijah that had prayed for it not to rain for three and a half years, and then he was mighty enough to make it start to raining again. Now this is the man that this is what he done. He done all of these things, but here he was letting the threat of Jezebel run him off and scare him, and then get him to the point that he wanted to die. So he was depressed, and so that's what I wanted to bring out about. Sometimes we get into a place and things happen, and sometimes people fall. You know, you might get depressed. And, you know, I felt like I was in there at that place at one point in time. I think, believe the Lord's bringing me out of it. I'm telling you, because when you got bills to pay, you don't have no money, and they're going for some time, like a couple of years or something, you get discouraged. But then I had to think. I said, well, I'm still over here in this house, Lord. I'm still here at this house, with that little money I was getting and all of that stuff. So the Lord was sustaining me, just like he sustained Elijah up under that juniper. I'm going to talk about this. I'm going to get to it in just a minute. But here he was depressed. What I'm trying to encourage somebody today, maybe things might happen in your life and you get a little discouraged and get a little depressed and things like that. But what you got to be encouraged to understand that God has got you. God has not left you. He has not left you. He is with you. And when you feel like things are depressed because you're not seeing things work out the way you think they should have worked out, this is what Elijah was discouraged about. He was discouraged because he had this great win up on Mount Carmel, but still the people's hearts hadn't turned back to God. And so sometimes we go through things and things are not working out like we think they should be. It's not flowing in the pattern that we might think it should be. And so we get discouraged or we get depressed and things like that may happen. But I want to encourage somebody today that to remember how God is taking care of you, even in the time of famine and in the time of drought. God is taking care of you. He's taking care of me. I got to say that, and I'm testifying to that, because I'm telling you, I can't tell you how I'm still sitting over here in this house, but God. It is God that has done it. And if y'all really do the gritty details, you'd be over thinking, yeah, the Lord done that thing. It sure wasn't by my might or no my power, but it's been by the power of God. So I got to trust God that he's in control. We got to trust him. We got to lean on him and depend on him and understand that he is awesome. And hey, Elder Potter, I play her on there. But we got to understand how everybody that's on the broadcast. God, thank God for each and every one of you being on here, because I just be on here talking and trying to get this done. I just come right in. But I'm so grateful for each and every one of you that take your time to listen. And I hope that I'm saying something to encourage you or saying something to encourage somebody, that they will be encouraged to stay with God, they will be encouraged to begin to discipline themselves with fasting and praying and getting in a closer. Because when we fast and pray, we're just not fasting just to be doing it to turn our plate down, but we're doing it so we want to honor God. We want to get closer to God. We want to know more about God. We're trying to get to a place in God that, you know, first of all, especially for those that are in ministry, you're trying to get the anointing of God. You want God's anointing on your life so you can be effective in ministry and whatever God has called you to do. So when you fast and pray, that should be one of your purposes, is that God will anoint you and you will get a deeper relationship with him so that he can use you mightily. That's what you want. If you're to be used by God, and that's what all of us got a place for God to use it. When you on them jobs, that's an opportunity. That's an opportunity for you to witness. That's an opportunity for you to pray for somebody. Because when he gave that great commission, he didn't say all elders going to do this, one's going to do. He gave that for all of us, to go out into the world. and teach and preach the gospel. So that we all are commissioned to do that. And so we all got to understand that when wherever we are, it's an opportunity for us to be about God's business is what we got to understand. In whatever way God uses us, because we got to understand this. I know sometimes people, they want to belittle certain things, you know, like it. Because especially like if you teach, you're a teacher of gospel, first thing they say, you don't say, oh, yeah, she teaches, you know, like it's a subset of something. But that's part of fivefold ministry. Pastor, prophet, apostle, evangelist, teacher, all of them in fivefold ministry. And so, and then people talk about the gifts of the Spirit. Oh, I can do this, I can do this. Well, this is the thing about all of that. It's the same Spirit administering whatever gift it is you got. And so, can't nobody say, oh, my gift is greater, my gift is not greater. It's the same, it's the Holy Spirit that is administering all those gifts. So understand it. Don't let people discourage you with that kind of stuff. Don't do it. Don't let nobody discourage you about nothing. Do what God has called you to do in the way that you do it, and it will be effective. If you have taken the time to study and pray and to fast and to get before God, and He has told you to do it in the spirit of excellence. Do it be committed to it, and do it until, you know, just do what God has told you to do in your way. We ain't got to try to be like nobody else, because whatever way God give us to do it, we got souls that need to be here. They're going to hear what we're saying, and though that's our purpose is souls. My purpose is souls. I want people to come to God and want people to be saved and live for God, because it's such a blessing. I tell my brother all the time, you can go through things. If you know God, it's so much better to go through them. But when you don't know God, it's a rough time going through something. But when you know the Lord, it's so much better. Even though you're going through, it's just so much better with Jesus. I'm telling you, it is. And so that's what I wanted to say today. But Elijah was depressed. And so anyway, God came to Elijah. And this is the thing, I want to say this, I'm going to bring out these points, because sometimes these notes get on my nerves. And so anyway, And so anyway, Elijah was sitting over here up under that juniper tree, and God sent the angel to minister to him. He sent him, and he fed him. He fed him first, and then he came back, and then he fed him again. It's over here, read 1 Kings 19. I'm not going to go through all the scriptures, because my time is running out. But he fed him again. So God met his physical need first. Then he told him to get some rest, because what he had for him to do was a great task, and he was not going to be able to do it tired and hungry. And so sometimes, saints, all you need is some rest. Go get some sleep and get some rest, because you can't do everything if you are tired and wore out. That's when the enemy attacks the most, is when we're tired and wore out. Get you some rest. I'm telling you, rest is good for your heart and everything, so get some sleep sometimes and stop being up doing too many things. And so anyway, worrying yourself to death, don't do that. Pray. Pray. Ask God and talk to him about it. But nevertheless, he did that, and then he told him, he said, the journey that you're going to go on is too great. So Elijah had to get up because he was going. He had to go. God gave him something else to do. He had to go to Mount Hor. And so it was a 40-day journey. And so he went in the strength of that food that God fed him, that the angel fed him, and in the drink, the water that God gave him, and in that rest that he let him have. And he went 40 days and 40 nights on that meal, on those meals that God gave him. And so that he fed him. So he took care of his physical need, and then he blessed him spiritually. And let's think about Elijah wanting to die for a minute. He said, I just want to die, Lord. And this is the funny thing about it. Elijah never did die. That's the thing about it. What if God had, and I want to bring this out, what if God had answered that request? See, that's what I'm saying. Sometimes we praying for stuff it's not God's will. We praying for it, but it's not God's will. And so because God didn't answer that prayer, Elijah was the one that God sent the chariot down to get, took him up, and when he went up, he dropped Elisha down that mantle, and Elisha got a double portion. So it wasn't meant, he never did die. It's recorded in the scriptures that he got taken up. And so, but what if God had, that's what I'm saying. God knows more about what we're supposed to be doing and what our life is than we do. And so we got to rely. Sometimes he don't answer prayers for a reason. And the reason why he don't answer them prayers is because that prayer is not in alignment with what God wants. So if God would have answered Elijah's prayer when he asked God to take his life, then Elijah never would have done the other great things that Elijah done, other great miracles that were performed, all the things that Elijah done. And then Elijah was taken up, and his testimony is that he didn't die at all. And so we got to think about that. So sometimes when you're discouraged because a prayer didn't get answered or God answered in a different way, know that it was for your good. And it was what God's purpose is for your life. I always say, I remember that song, I think it was Twinkie Clark and Mr. Clean White Wright used to sing a song, said, we got to accept what God allowed. And so you're better off anyway, because I think, you know, at the time some people had died, and he was saying, you should have took some other people, but we got to accept what God allowed. And so sometimes we just got to be happy there. So Elijah had to accept what God didn't do. God didn't answer that prayer, but God had greater things for Elijah to do. And so Elijah was able to do much more greater things. And then he was able to pass the mantle down to Elisha, who did double what Elijah did. They said Elisha was so great, it was so great that even when they put him in the ground, said they threw another dead soldier in there with Elisha, and the soldier touched the bones of Elijah, and the soldier was resurrected. So I'm telling you, God allowed him to do more. So we got to understand, sometimes when we pray for things, it is not God's will, and we just got to be okay with that. It's not God's will, and we just got to go on in the strength of the Lord and be excited. I'm going to get ready to does anybody on the line have anything they want to say? If not, we're going to go on, and because I'm getting ready to close in just a minute, we're going to pray, because I got to go over here to the hospital. We do a chaplain service, and so I got to go over here because one of the ladies is not going to be able to go, so I'm going to go and help in her place and things like that. So anyway, I hope that somebody was encouraged. We're going to talk about the types of fast next week, and then we're going to be done with fasting. We're going to talk about the New Testament scriptures on fasting, and so that's Jesus' fast, Paul's fast, Anna's fast. I think Paul and Silas, when they got ready to go on the missionary journey, we're going to talk about that, and, you know, and what they were fasting. They were fasting more for ministry, more so than they were for the nation, like the rest of, you know, like the rest of them was fasting for the nation to be able to, to turn back to God. So that's what they mainly were doing. So we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about the types of fast, you know, the different things like an occasional fast is like a one-day fast, and then an intermittent fast is something people do on a consistent basis. You know, some people fast every week, or they do something like that. They do things like that in a longer fast. We're going to talk about extended fast, and then we're going to talk about some tips on starting a fast, how to start a fast, how to end a fast, things like that, because we got to be understanding. You don't go eat, you know, like I said, you can't go and eat a whole bunch of stuff, you know, go sit down and eat, you know, two Big Macs or a Big Mac, a quarter pounder, two fries and two big old orange pops and all like that before you go on the fast, so then that's going to just make it worse for you. So you got to kind of ease your way. That's why they used to kind of ease us in. We started giving up things and it kind of eased us into the fast. That way we were more successful at it. And I found that fast too, and I'm gonna read that fast next week how they used to do it. Because what they did was they would start us that one week and they would take things out. Like we stopped eating meat the first day, and then we would stop eating breads, and we would stop eating sweets, and we would stop eating those things. They just kind of kept taking us off of things. So then by the time the second week came along, you were ready for the fast. You were ready to do, and they did it in three levels. Like I said, they did a fast, partial fast that was till noon, from midnight to noon, and then the other one was from midnight to six the next day, and then the other fast was all day. And so they did fasted all day long, and they were, you know, able to do those types of things. But even the ones that were doing a partial fast, they didn't go back to eating stuff. It was certain things that they could do, like, you know, soup or, you know, broth or things like that. They had certain things they were able to eat, and so they wouldn't go back into eating all that other types of stuff. And then on the last week, they fasted a little bit, and then they began to get you back to the place where you could eat and get yourself back in there. So it was a real nice way to do it, but you can do that or you can do any of the other ways that are available. But I would suggest, you know, just to give some time to fasting and to, and of course, you, like I said, if you're going to fast, you need to pray, because you can't fast without prayer, but you can pray without ceasing. But so make sure that you're fasting and praying And I'm really praying, and I hope some people will pray with me, that our leadership in the Christian community would call a fast. You know, and I didn't talk about Joel, so I'm going to talk about Joel, because Joel is where they called the solemn assembly. In Joel 1 and 4, 1, the first chapter, and then Joel, the second chapter, is when they call a solemn assembly, and they begin to fast and pray for the nation. So I am going to talk about that one next week, and then I'll talk about the New Testament fast. And then we'll talk about the different types of fast, how to get out of the fast, and things like that. And so we're going to close it, close here, because we only have 5 minutes actually. And so anyway, we're getting ready to close. And I thank God for each and every one of you that called in, those that logged in, those that were with me on Facebook Live, and those that will listen to the broadcast later, those that will listen will review on Facebook. As well, I thank God for each and every one of you for joining me. I pray that the Lord bless you with the word of God and that you are encouraged to begin to discipline yourself with fasting and prayer, and would do that so that you can get closer to God and that God can answer some of the prayers that you have up before Him. You know, just like Darius prayed for Daniel, maybe it's somebody that you need to pray for. That, you know, somebody in your family that needs to pray for. So you're going to fast and pray for that family member, or fast and pray for your community, or fast and pray for yourself, or some things that you know you need, healing or whatever it is. These are some of the things that you can add, get before, put before the God. And fasting just enhances our prayer. It really does. And it takes us to a place of worship with God. And so we want to incorporate that in our lives, because it still is important for us to humble ourselves with fasting. We humble ourselves with fasting. We repent of our sins. We turn from our wicked ways, and then we begin to hear from heaven. I think if we go over to Second Chronicles 7:14, you know, it tells us, if that's what it tells us. It said, you know, pray and we fast. You know, and we're beginning to turn back to God is what it is. And if you don't think you need to repent every day, then that's not, you're wrong. You know, the Bible says, you say you have no sin, you lie and deceive yourself. That's what it says in 1 John. And so we got to understand that, you know, and I'm not saying everybody's wrong, everybody's sinning. That's what I'm saying. But I'm just saying there's nothing wrong with repentance. You know, we repent every day. We go before the God, Lord, and tell Him, Lord, forgive us the sins of omission, sins of commission. We do that because we need God in our lives, and we need God to move in our lives. We can't do it on our own. And so I'm just encouraging people to begin to put fasting as a discipline in their life, to begin to fast and pray and ask God to help you, and repent. There's nothing wrong with us repenting of our sins, turning from our wicked ways. But I'm really praying that our leadership in this country, I'm not talking about the White House, I'm talking about in our Christian community, that we would come together and be like Joel, call a solemn assembly, and we would begin to fast and pray, and that for this nation and for the sins of this nation and even for our own sins. We can't not pray for the nation, because you remember Judges over in 20 when Israel was coming up against Benjamin. And they sat there, and they wanted to come against Benjamin, but they needed to pray. They needed to repent first before they could come up against their brother. So anyway, let's do all that. Let's just think about all that. But if somebody is out there that does not know the Lord and the pardon of their sins, I'm asking you to give your life to the Lord. Find you a good Bible-believing teaching church and begin to attend so that you can get strength. And then I'm running out of time, so I'm just going to pray real quick, and we're going to go on out, and I will see you back here next week. We're going to finish up on fasting next week, and then we're going to of all of the ones we've done so far in this series, and then we're going to start on prayer. And so prayer is a big topic, so we'll see how that goes. But anyway, we're going to start talking about prayer. So, Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you today. We ask you to bless each and every one under the sound of my voice. We ask you to touch each and every heart. Lord, let them begin to put fasting and prayer into their lives. I hope that this broadcast was a blessing to them, that they was here, that they are hearers of your word and doers also. And, Lord, we ask you, Lord Jesus, just to meet the needs of your people. You know what they stand in need of. Oh God, if it's finances, then bless them with finances, Lord. If it's if whatever it is, bless them, Lord. Cause their souls to prosper, Father, in the name of Jesus. We speak deliverance, we speak healing, we speak joy, we speak peace over the lives of your people. Bless this nation, oh God. Bless all our leadership and our pastors, oh God. strengthened them the day they poured out to us, Lord. So we ask you to pour back into them, Father, in the name of Jesus. If anybody does not attend the church, find you a good Bible-believing teaching church, that the Lord will continue to bless you and strengthen you. If somebody in your family needs healing, we speak in healing to their bodies right now in the name of Jesus. Somebody needs to be saved, we speak in, Lord, that you draw them closer to you. In the name of Jesus, I give you the glory, the honor, and the praise, and we'll forever give you the glory, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray, amen and amen and amen and amen. Thank you. If you came in a little late, just go back and listen to the broadcast. But thank you so much. I got to get out of here because I got to go over here to this hospital and support one of our elders. She's doing the work, so I don't have to do that. But I got to be over there to support because I don't like nobody go over there by themselves because it's something. So anyway, God bless you. Be praying for us. And I'll keep praying for everybody. In Jesus' name, God bless you. And join me back here next week on the Prospering Souls broadcast. God bless you. Okay, got to go.